Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours, 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Sunday, June 29, 2014. You are listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us this evening. Live from Washington, I am Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Among our top stories this evening, African leaders at the just-ended 23rd AU Ordinary Summit in Malabo, Equatorial Guinea, joined conflict and security experts and others in celebrating the organ's 10-year existence.
The idea is that Africa must own its peace efforts, it must lead its peace efforts, therefore it must fund them. But now we don't have sustainable funding sources to keep on.
The MDC formation of Morgan Tsvangirai says it will not be disturbed by a recent ZANU-PF decision to deploy its top officials in Matabeleland North province to monitor the performance of MDC team members of the House of Assembly.
Definitely that is absolute nonsense, because the members of parliament for MDC do represent DC and the people in the constituents. They do not represent ZANU-PF and therefore are not there to implement ZANU-PF program.
And as usual, we'll give you the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo. The African Union's Peace and Security Council is celebrating 10 years of existence with a number of conflicts and growing terrorism affecting some pockets on the continent. African leaders at the just-ended 23rd AU Ordinary Summit in Malabo, Equatorial Guinea, joined conflict and security experts and others in celebrating the organ's 10 years of existence. The Council's current chair is Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni. The Council was formed to promote peace, security, and stability on the continent. Zimbabwean Admiral Kambudzi is the Council Secretary. He told Studio 7 African leaders should put their act together and provide funds to run the Council so it can quickly respond to conflicts on the continent and save lives. Kambudzi says for countries like Zimbabwe and others in Southern Africa to remain terrorist-free, the leaders have to invest in measures to guard against that by supporting an AU fund for the Council. He speaks with Studio 7's Sandra Nyaira from Malabo in Equatorial Guinea.
The African Peace and Security Council is the most important organ of the African Union. It is the supreme organ on issues of peace and security. It takes all decisions. It operates at three levels: the level of ambassadors, mostly in Addis Ababa; the level of ministers. Ministers can meet any time, but normally they hold the two meetings a year. The heads of state also. They can meet more times, but in principle, they can meet at least a year. The main challenges facing the Peace and Security Council concern funding, how to get more money to fund AU peace efforts. And the idea is that Africa must own its peace efforts, it must lead its peace efforts, therefore it must fund them. But now we don't have sustainable funding sources to keep on effective funding in the wake of the Peace and Security Council. The other challenge comes with logistics. When the Peace and Security Council decides, for example, to deploy a peace support mission in any African country where there's a crisis or a conflict, it takes time to bring the troops, men and women, to bring equipment to the theater of operation. In the meantime, people will be suffering, people will be dying, infrastructure will be destroyed. And when you talk about people, it's mostly women and children and the elderly, which will be more affected.
So, but why are the leaders not taking bold decisions on these issues when we see that now we have Boko Haram and others coming up to destabilize Africa? Where does Africa think that this problem is coming from?
It's a question of both the leaders and all the stakeholders in every African country. We are talking about government, it must raise money. We are talking about civil society, they must play their part. We are talking about the private sector. There are very strong private sectors in some of the countries in Africa. They have to contribute, because if you are a private sector operator and there's war, there's no stability, you can't do business, you can't make profit. So we must sit on the same table, government, civil society, the private sector, try to mobilize money for our peace. That's the way forward.
Do you think there's political will to that extent?
There seems to be growing political will these days, because of the 11 fast-growing economies, 6 or 7 of them are in Africa. And in this case, these countries which are growing very fast economically, they are located in those areas where there's relative calm and peace. So our leaders now see that to unleash the vast economic potential in the continent, we need peace, and they need to fund our own peace operations.
That was Council Secretary Admore Kambudzi speaking with Studio 7 Sandra Nyaira in Malabo, Equatorial Guinea. The MDC formation of Morgan Tsvangirai says it will not be disturbed by a recent ZANU-PF decision to deploy its top officials in Matabeleland North Province to monitor the performance of MDC team members of the House of Assembly. At its recent workshop in Bulawayo, ZANU-PF officials accused the opposition MPs of not implementing some government programs in the province. But MDCT spokesman Douglas Monzora says his party was not an extension of ZANU-PF and was not going to be subjected to the said monitoring. ZANU-PF spokesman Rugare Gumbo told Studio 7 he did not have full details of the decision, adding that it may be discussed at the Politburo meeting Wednesday. Monzora speaks with reporter Jonga Kandemiri.
Definitely that is absolute nonsense, because the members of parliament for MDC do represent DC and the people in the constituents. They do not represent ZANU-PF, and therefore are not there to implement ZANU-PF programs. They are there to implement MDC programs in conjunction with the people of Zimbabwe. Therefore, it is not necessary for the members of Parliament of the MDC to be monitored by ZANU-PF. But we know that ZANU-PF is arrogant, they are bed losers. They just want to make sure that they want to impose themselves on the people of Zimbabwe. We will not respect that.
But as members of parliament, are you not expected to also implement government policies? And ZANU-PF happens to be the party that's in the government.
Well, we implement policies that make sense. Zim Asset doesn't make sense at all. Zim Asset so far does not mean jobs. It does not mean more industries. It does not mean prosperity. It does not mean moving the people of Zimbabwe from poverty and misery. Zim Asset simply means maintenance of the status quo. There is nothing to learn and there is nothing to implement.
What are you going to do in the event that ZANU-PF starts its monitoring program?
Well, the monitoring does not matter at all, does not make sense, because whether it monitors us and gives us a 0 out of 10, they can't do anything about it, because we are the legitimate members of parliament in those areas. So we do not care about whether ZANU-PF monitors us and whatever mark it gives us.
That was MDCT spokesman Douglas Monzora speaking with Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri in Harare. Studio 7 is now available on Zim Channel on your WizTech free-to-air decoder from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Monday to Friday, and from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday. From your WizTech decoder, look for CH Zim. Channel Zim is available 24/7 on your satellite TV, smartphone, and online. To listen online, go to www.channelzim.net. This is Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. We are going out to you on 4930, 4940, and 15455 shortwave frequencies, and on the 909 medium wave or AM frequency. And now we go to the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo.
You are now listening to the Youth Forum, your forum focusing on your issues today. I'm gladly joined by one of our regulars, Mr. Wellington Zindowe of the Youth Forum Zimbabwe. Wellington, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Tatum.
You guys had a very interesting article on your website where the title was Zim Asset Choking. Why do you guys say that? What are the youth saying on the ground?
Yeah, I think Zim Asset is full of a lot of good language, very good promises, and it promises a very beautiful future for everyone in the country. But I think what we are also realizing as young people is that it's not moving on the ground. It's just on paper and nothing is actually happening on the ground.
What are the youth expecting from Zim Asset, or generally expecting from the government, in regards to some of the issues that they're facing daily?
One of the greatest challenges at the present moment is that of unemployment. I think if you remember that this is one of, you know, the issues that I think the ZANU-PF government, or rather the party, was actually rallying people, especially young people, around towards the election. And this is in their manifesto. This is something that they also translated into a policy document via Zim Asset. So what young people would want to see at the present moment is job creation, the enactment of policies, regulations that are towards the creation of employment.
But how long are you giving the government to, I guess, show that this Zim Asset can actually make a change? Should we be focused on giving it a bit more time?
I think there is need for what we call, a multi-sectoral, dialogue or other engagement that brings the government and also young people and other stakeholders together to say, how can we frame Zim Asset in a working language, something that is achievable? Because I think recently the vice president said, and I'm to say, that it needs 40 years to achieve all that is said in Zim Asset. And right now the government does not have resources to fund the strategy.
You are listening to the Youth Forum.
This is French Vanilla, Zimbabwe representative. You're now tuned in to Studio 7, Voice of America, with Tatenda Gumbo, Zimbabwe. Check it out.
Hey, what's up? This is Sissy Yanti. You're listening to the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo.
What up, world? This is Cynic, and you are tuned in to Voice of America, Studio 7.
You are listening to the Youth Forum, your forum focusing on your issues. I'm joined by Wellington Zindowe of the Youth Forum Zimbabwe. Wellington, there is somewhat of a running joke on what Zim Asset really is. You know, we heard that comedian who was essentially saying Zim Asset can be anything. Besides some youth that are involved with, programs such as yours, does the ordinary young person really know what Zim Asset is?
There is a very big gap in terms of knowledge, in terms of what people know to be Zim Asset, what people understand, is Zim Asset. There is that very huge, knowledge gap. I think it's also a policy that is structured in a highly bureaucratic language that serves the interests of these high top government officials. I think our understanding is that it's high time now that the government needs to transmit, make people aware of what is it that they are talking about when they are talking about Zim Asset. Now, you correctly pointed out, I think it means quite a lot of things to different people. And also, this is one of the tendencies that is being cultivated by politicians, because everything and the challenge that we are facing, they are just piling it to say, we are doing this via Zim Asset, we are doing this via Zim Asset. To the extent that even comedians are also thinking that Zim Asset could mean anything, buying something from a butcher, having a haircut and so forth. And surely, yes, that is what the politicians are putting across to the people. And the young people are actually caught up in between, a hard place and a rock, to say, is it really what Zim Asset is all about?
And this might be a loaded question, but what do youth want to happen for themselves? And can it be achieved anytime soon?
Not really. You see, they are also admitting as government to say that we don't have resources to fund this strategy. But one thing that we would want to see as young people is that the government should try to reach out to as many stakeholders as possible, particularly in light of looking for resources to fund the strategy.
Wellington, as usual, thank you so much for joining me on my Youth Forum, and much appreciated.
Yeah, you're welcome.
That was Wellington Zindowe of the Youth Forum, Zimbabwe. Thanks so much for joining me this weekend, and make sure you tune in next Sunday on the Youth Forum. This is Tatenda Gumbo, and have a wonderful weekend.
In the group stages of the 2014 FIFA World Cup in Brazil, all eyes will be on the teams carrying Africa's dreams for a berth in the finals when Nigeria clashes with France tomorrow while Algeria plays Germany. VOA sports analyst Nico Pino in Brazil gives us his perspective on the African team's chances.
It's Nico Pino live from Brazil in Rio.
Nico, we see that the African countries carrying Africa's hopes alive. Nigeria and Algeria will be playing tomorrow on Monday. Tell us what can be expected from these encounters.
Well, you know, everybody's so happy to have two African teams that now we want them to advance as far as possible in the competition. So as far as concerning Nigeria, it's going to be very, very difficult against France. But it's quite open because France has not won any World Cup since 1998. You know, they have young players, and Nigeria is the African champion. So I think it's going to be open, especially because the team of Nigeria, they have pretty great strikers, and we saw that in the game against Argentina, they had a lot of resources, you know, to score. So I think it's going to be open. On the contrary, on the other game for Algeria, it's against one of the favorites, Germany. Algerians, they are pretty happy to have advanced so far in the competition, but let's be honest, it's going to be very, very difficult, and they might create a surprise, but I mean, seriously, we have to... It's Germany, and Germany, they're always present in huge competition, usually semifinals. So I don't expect a win, a victory from Algeria, but, you know, it's the World Cup. Everything is possible.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of drama at the World Cup, so anything seems to be possible. Also, there's talk that the Nigerian team may be up in arms over the non-payment of their bonuses by the association. Have you heard any of such news in Brazil?
Because on Thursday they were supposed to train. They did not train. Officially, the meeting among the players, lasted too long to have a training. But it looks weird, you know. You're just preparing a round of 16 and you don't train. It's weird. Last week, you know, the coach, Stefan Keshi, he repeated several times, you know, there's no problem, there's no issue with bonuses. Everything is fine. But, I mean, so far, it was Nico Pino from Brazil in Rio.
That was sports analyst Nico Pino speaking with us from Rio in Brazil. That's the music of Alec Machesu, Makandidana, coming to you live from the Voice of America in Washington. That's the news in English from Studio 7 this Sunday evening, June 29th, 2014. Stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.